This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everybody doing? Alhamdulillah. This afternoon, Jumu'ah, the whole masjid was like finished. There was like zero energy. I felt like just calling it myself. But Alhamdulillah, we made it. And you know, this is usually where the novelty of Ramadan starts to wear off. And you know, you see the softs getting less and less. So please, just remember, think about it. Just, well, now 27 days, 28 days between you and Jannah. 27 days of attaining whatever you want in terms of Jannah, of getting that amnesty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to push yourself and keep the motivation going. Don't waste the weekends as well. The weekends is still Ramadan. So do as much as you can in terms of good deeds. Do a special kind of good deed that you wouldn't have done outside, you know, before you'd never done something like that. For example, we encourage the jama'ah to be part of the orphan program. How often do we go to an orphanage? Almost never. Maybe now in Ramadan, one day in one of the weekends, inshallah, make that your niyyah. Jazakallah. So we continue with our tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. And last night, we mentioned the themes. And we said the ultimate theme of the surah is protection from fitna. It's a guide, a methodology to protect you from fitna. And we spoke about the first three verses of Surah Al-Kahf. The first three verses are about the Qur'an. Allah says that, all praise be to Allah who revealed the Qur'an to His slave. This Qur'an is never bending. It's always straight, uncorruptible. It will never change. Everything else will change, but this Qur'an will stay straight. And in times of fitna, those who keep to it, they will remain steadfast. Then Allah says, and this Qur'an is warning you of a coming punishment, a severe punishment and a great reward. That people, some people will be in either one forever. Right. So that's where we ended last night. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fourth ayah of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. And a specific warning to those who say Allah has taken a son. Now this ayah is controversial for the surah. And I think I'll make an executive decision, we'll give a book of treats away. If someone can mention, why do you think this would be controversial in the surah? When Allah says, and a special warning. So this Qur'an, I think it's still talking about the Qur'an. The Qur'an is revealed to warn about punishment and to give you good tidings to those who do good deeds. And it's a special warning for those who say Allah has taken a son. Why do you think it was controversial for the Mufassirin? Yes? Okay, so that's not the answer. The brother is saying, doesn't the Quran say the Jews, the Christians, the Sabi'in, they will all be successful? The ayah says, man amana billahi. Those Jews and Christians who believe in Allah and the last day and do good deeds, then of course they will not have any punishment. Those who are on the correct methodology. Come think, why would this be controversial for the Mufassirin? Okay, let's take it to tafsir. Who do you think Allah is mean? When Allah says, I'm warning those who say I have taken a son, who do you think Allah is talking about? But yes, yes. Excellent, that's the answer. Right, this is surah is revealed when? In Mecca. There are no Christians in Mecca. So why is Allah speaking about Christians who don't exist? So therefore, the Mufassirin, they began to think, who does this ayah reference? So the classical scholars, some of them had said, well, it references the Arabs because they also mentioned that Allah has taken daughters. In other places in the Quran, it says Allah has taken daughters. Some Mufassirin said, no, it's still regarding the Jews, because in the Quran, Allah says, some of them claimed Uzair is the son of Allah. The Yahud also claimed Allah had a son, and he was Uzair. But of course, the most common group of people that mention Allah as a son are the Christians. So the Mufassirin ask, why would the Christians be in this surah, which is a Meccan surah? There are no Christians yet in the picture. Modern contemporary scholars, when they look at this tafsir, they have an alternate view. And it's a bit out there, but I'll mention it now. They say, look, these ayat are the 10 ayat which protects from Dajjal. And that this warning was for the Christians, saying, oh Christians, beware of what you are saying. Beware, that which you are doing is paving the way for Dajjal. Why? You are claiming that Allah has a son. And if you look at the you know, if we look now, we're jumping into the future, the way the world would be when Dajjal comes, it is the secular world that we live in today is really paving the way for the coming of Dajjal. And where did the religion that is really the religion of the world, not Christianity, not Islam, it's secular, the secular world, living for the dunya only. What brought about secular religion? It is the oppression of the church. So if you look at Christian history, the church forced upon its people the doctrine of the Trinity. It forced upon its people to remain behind. It opposed sciences and technology. And Europe went through a period of the dark ages under the rule of the church, under those who said Allah has taken a son. When they ruled Europe, it was in complete darkness. Then there was a renaissance. People began to say, well, we don't care about religion anymore. Religion brought us nothing. We studied the soul, we went nowhere. We studied the year after and our dunya suffered. So they started focusing on learning this world, about the body and not the soul. Focusing on this dunya and not the akhirah. Focusing on the sciences and not the ulama anymore. Science became the religion of the way to think. And with that, religion got thrown out the window. And so this paved the way, a complete revolt against religion because of the oppression of those who insisted that Allah has taken a son. So this paved the way to the secular world, a world where people no longer care about the year after. If you look at every culture, whether it's the Hindus, the Christians, you know, what was common about the people of the past is they had a focus on sort of the afterlife. Whatever society you were in, even like the African pagan societies, the Maulana or the Sangoma, they are the leaders of the community. It's focused on religion. The only movement that we see moving away from religion completely is the modern secular world. And this is really paving the way to the coming of Dajjal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a modern tafsir, they're saying, Allah warned the Christians 1400 years ago, look guys, don't stop this thing of oppressing the people and forcing the Trinity down the throats of your people. Because if you keep doing this, this will open the doors of Dajjal. This will open the way, pave the way for the coming of Dajjal. And that's what we see. We see the consequences now, where we live in a world without religion anymore. Where, as Allah said, that time will come where things are upside down. Morality is thrown out the window now. There's no such thing as truth. What, you know, do as you please. We live in a world where whatever you feel like doing, that's what's right. There's no ultimate truth. And that's really the fitna, the backdrop of when Dajjal will come. That's what the world will be like. Where you won't know right from wrong, where everything is confusion. And the only thing you have is this Quran, is the only thing that points to the truth. This is the world that came into motion because of this the oppression of the church. As I said, this is a out there kind of tafsir, but it links up with the coming of Dajjal. So Allah says about them, those who claim that He has a son, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ. That which they say, they have no knowledge of it, nor did their forefathers. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجْ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. That which they're saying is a big, big blasphemy. It's a huge thing they're saying, they don't realize it. إِن يَكُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. They are only speaking lies, and they don't realize the danger of this thing that they're doing. They don't realize what's going to come into motion in the future. And therefore also, Allah is mentioning that knowledge is the cure to fitna. Knowledge is the cure. Guidance is the cure to confusion. But the more people speak without knowledge, the more people act without knowledge, this paves the way to fitna. This is what causes fitna. As we said, when we look at a place like Syria, which is a fitna, we don't know truth from falsehood. You watch one channel and one group is the heroes. You change the channel and the other group is the hero. You don't know what is right from wrong. This is fitna. This is what Dajjal will come and do. In fact, his name Dajjal is what? What does Dajjal mean? The deceiver. Deception. False deception. And also the link, of course, between Nabi Isa and Dajjal, these are the opposites. So the ones who actually claim and have exaggerated the position of Nabi Isa are actually paving the world for the Antichrist. Right? So that is the sort of the link when they mention this ayah. Allah is actually speaking about the Christians. The last ayah that Allah that we'll speak about tonight, the sixth ayah, this is about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a direct ayah to him. Allah says to the Prophet, فَلَأَلَّكَ بَاحِيٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Allah says, maybe ya Muhammad, you will kill yourself through grief over them if they do not believe in this message out of sadness. This shows you the heavy burden of da'wah on the Prophet's chest. You know, that every soul, Abu Jahl, whoever it was, he felt the need, I want to keep and guidance. When the revelation wasn't coming, he personally took that to heart. You know, it's my fault. So the Prophet, Allah is telling the Prophet, do not kill yourself out of grief over them. You just give the message, you just continue. So when we live in times of fitna, like we live in today, as those of us, alhamdulillah, if you're on the truth, you can only spread the message and keep yourself safe. And we try to bring as many people to guidance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ultimate saying, guidance is from Allah. Don't kill yourself out of that burden. Don't put yourself in extreme misery. And it shows you the love the Prophet, peace be upon him, has, the Prophet has for this ummah. When I say ummah, I don't just mean the Muslims. I mean all of humanity that followed him. Every single person, the Prophet, peace be upon him, it grieved him deeply when people did not believe in this message, because he could see where this would lead to. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We continue insha'Allah tomorrow when we conclude in this first section of Surah Al-Kahf, which is the protection from Dajjal. Answers to last night's question. This should have been easy. If you got this wrong, then please speak to me after the lecture. How many pillars of Iman are there? Of course, there are six. Amantu billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi. We know that, we should all know that. There are six pillars of Iman. And then as for tonight's question, the question is, who did the Jews say was the son of Allah? Right? So, did the Jews say Uzair is the son of Allah? Did they say Isa was the son of Allah? Or did they say Musa was the son of Allah? Or did they say Muhammad was the son of Allah? So, who did the Jews say is the son of Allah? Easy one, inshallah. We continue tomorrow. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.